Well, ladies and gentlemen, looks like this one belongs to our volunteers. We start the fifth quarter 38 seconds early. I was hoping to join you midway through the fourth quarter, but, man, I couldn't take it. No offense. So I just chatted with you online, and we'll get through this here and maybe give you about an hour here after the game. We'll talk about it. People are wondering about Nick Reveille. I got a text a few minutes ago from somebody over there, and they say it doesn't look too good for Nick Reveille. Now, obviously, nobody's going to know anything until his knee goes down and they have a chance to look at it. But the initial prognosis on the sidelines is that it's a terrible injury and that it could be something that will end his season. Tonight's game, just a real mutter on a real sloppy day. Just a really ugly football game. And one of you just had a great line a few minutes ago, which is that it was reminiscent. Tonight was vintage former football. And, hey, look, when you got John Crompton as your quarterback, brother, it is what it is. But that was really tough to watch tonight. And what an awful football game. I mean, look at Lane Kiffin. He looks sick at his stomach over that game tonight. Does he look like a happy camper after that performance? That was a dreadful football game. And I do mean dreadful. Thank goodness that game is over with. Because I'm going to tell you something. If that kid doesn't step out of bounds after stripping Crompton, if they strip Crompton and you make that a half-score game, that becomes a four-point game there with your boy Crompton under center, there is no way I think we get out of there with a win. This guy has got to go as a quarterback. He has got to go. Good night. That was just dreadful tonight. But you know what? You're going to have games like that, and it is what it is. And the bottom line was this Ohio team was a really losable, bad matchup for us. And the reason they were is that their defensive coordinator, who we had on the show Thursday, knew that all you had to do was keep this team in front of us. Their offensive coordinator obviously didn't know that tonight because – that play on the goal line they ran was silly. It was silly. And that fumble out of bounds, I mean, thank God. I'm telling you, you can laugh at me. I thought we were going to have trouble in this game. I absolutely thought that this game was going to be insane tonight. And here we go. By the way, if you want to jump in, our number's right there. Love to hear from you tonight. We have an abbreviated version of the fifth quarter. We're going to get as many people in here as we possibly can. I've heard the criticism, and I will try and do better as we watch now Penn State and Iowa mudded out there. And what a day it was. What an absolutely crazy day in college football that it was. Florida State and Miami, I don't think they're back. I hear that Tim Tebow now has a headache to go along with that really bad cough and cold that he was dragging around. I hear that Tim Tebow's got a really bad... If you miss that, insane. And Georgia, 20-17, gets a win. That's another thing Randy Smith said. That game was 17-3 at the half, Georgia winning. He goes, Georgia has come back, and they've tied Arizona State. What in the world are you talking about, dude? And look, people say, well, it's because you want to do that. No. No, really, I don't. I don't. But put Wilkerson in there. Put Chip Kane in there. Put Jim Wogan in there. Put Steve Phillips. Get that sheep, that fat sheep, get him out of the booth. He's terrible. That's terrible. I'm sorry. That guy is a sheep, and he stinks. Good. kind of establish that. So if you want to get in here, do that. And as guest 30 said, Tebow finally got hit tonight. And guest 14, that's right, you're going to have suck games. And we were mentally tonight, we were flat. That team flatlined tonight. It is what it is. And it was muddy and it was rainy and it was terrible. And we have John Crumb at a quarterback. And if I'm telling you right now, I'm embarrassed for saying that we were going to win 8 games earlier in the year. I feel embarrassed about that. Because I was talking to a buddy of mine tonight during the game. Chip Kane's married. He's not a homo, you clown. Guess 46. Let me tell you this right now. I'm interacting with people as they interact with us. As folks are jumping in here now. And if you want to call, get in here. I'm going to get as many people in as we possibly can. We're going to conference the entire free world. It's going to be unbelievable. But the truth is, I feel really kind of embarrassed now for having said that John Crompton was going to lead us to 8 wins, because I'll take 6. I'll take 6. You'll take 6. And by the way, this is the only post-game show that you will hear tonight, call-in show, because there are no others out there. All right, football finals on night games. I mean, God forbid they stay, you know, up past midnight. Take call. You listen to games when, I'm going to tell you something right now, you're being cheated, okay? And this is the reason I started this. When 870 in New Orleans, when LSU plays a night game, they're on the 4 in the morning doing talk radio. I mean, we have all this bloated pregame nonsense that nobody listens. I mean, can you listen to that? Don't be there when the fans need you. Turn it over to Fox Sports Radio. There you go. That's what they do in the Knoxville market. But Basilio doesn't. I'm telling you what, I'm feeling it tonight. Hey, Chucktown, I'll get on with the calls. I'll get on with the calls, brother. Thing is, tonight with this game is about survive in advance and get a win, and a win's a win's a win's a win's a win, and I'm not going to sit there and be too critical because it was an awful football game. Played on an awful track with an awful quarterback with a terrible injury to my favorite player, Nick Revaez. Just a terrible night. And when I saw Denarius Moore out there colliding in the flat with Montario Hardesty and those guys hobbling off, and I just thought to myself, can this game end soon enough? Because it's just one of those Saturdays, upset Saturday. And the rain and the track and the whole deal. So we're going to get to as many callers as we can. We have 14 callers on hold. It looks like for the 8th time in 9 years, Iowa is going to beat the geriatric kid, Joe Paterno. It's 11-10. Iowa with the lead. This Big Ten football is some of the ugliest slop known to mankind. And Paterno's Just for Men gel is coming out of his hair as we speak tonight. You can see how gray his hair is. Do you see that? How bad his dye job is? And my old Italian aunts used to get those dye jobs. We're going to go to the phones, but I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to go to the phones. And you're going to indulge me because I'm up. It's 11 o'clock, and I'm staying up with you here. But Iowa just blocked a punt for a touchdown, and they go to the 9th inning, and they got the lead. Big Ten football is terrible. Tonight's game, can I say this? It felt like an eternal Big Ten football game. I'm going to take them as I got them here as we get ready to go to the phones here on the 5th quarter, exclusively on TonyBasilio.com. South Texas Vol, good evening to you, sir, and welcome. Will Penn State be the next to fall? What did you think of tonight's game on pay review, as my boy Dewey Warren used to say back in the day?
Well, I think I got a deal. I only had to pay $24 down here in Texas for it.
So, $24? You got the bargain of the cent?
I know.
This cable company's good, man. DirecTV charged me $30.
Yeah, Dish Network, $24. There you go.
$24 on Dish Network. You got to love it.
couple of observations. I thought Brandon Warren looked maybe his best game. He looked really good running with the ball, catching it, things like that. He did have that drop. I thought Rico McCoy was everywhere. It was good to see Greg King in there, and I'm about sick over Nick Revesz being hurt. He's definitely, if Barry's a superstar, Nick Revesz is the lifeblood that keeps that defense going. I think that's going to have a bigger impact than what a lot of people think it would. We're going to look lost a lot of the time, and that's tough to handle. Like you said, Hardesty, man, he's going to be – he's a first-rounder. I mean, the guy just keeps going and going and going and going. And finally right there was the same thing.
They look for ASTV. That's what they look for, man. They look for guys that can get off guys, contact, and make it go. And that's exactly – he's got great feet, great center of gravity. He's a tough guy, catches the ball well. And I thought it was interesting how – Tennessee knew whenever they needed to run the ball, they could. Tonight's game was about getting Crump and off, similar to what happened against the first game of the season against Western. Bottom line, that guy's not getting off South Texas ball. He's not.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, it's such a shame. I mean, you feel bad for guys like Hardesty and, and Quentin Hancock and guys who deserve, who deserve better because they put the time in. Sorry about the train. I'm outside.
I love it, man. The Gator train is coming, as the Gator man likes to say. Go ahead.
You feel bad for guys like Hardesty and Quentin Hancock and some of the seniors who, they've worked so hard and they've been criticized up and down. And,
right.
And then they're stuck with – And honestly, it's not the. I don't think Crompton's not trying. I think he's trying as hard as he can.
Oh, no.
He just doesn't cut it, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I just want to see somebody different. I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore. He is literally sucking the fun out of my favorite sport. You know what I'm saying? He is. He is sucking the fun out of this. Watching him play football is like sucking on a lemon, like an eternal lemon that will never lose its flavor. It just continues to just makes you pucker. I just can't take – he threw a couple passes in the first half that should have been picked.
Yep.
He had a ball in the third quarter. I'll give him credit. On the screenplay, that was a beautifully thrown ball that he placed in there. And he threw a couple nice seam route type throws. The ball he threw to Bryce Brown was a nice throw in the seam. But the problem with him is that if he does that against Auburn next week, we're going to be on here at this time next Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and we're going to be talking about a 3-touchdown loss because they will convert it. They will convert that into points.
Well, I think, the play where I guess it was Teague. He did a hitch route, and there wasn't anybody 15 yards from him. And all Crompton had to do was just throw it out there. I guarantee you every other SEC quarterback hits him in the hands. Maybe one or two others that may overthrow him, but every single one of them hits him in the hands. Either he throws it, either they get it a little behind him so he stops and catches it, or he puts it right in the money. It's but he's out through by 10 yards. And it's just, you got to take advantage of that stuff, and we can't. And that's what's going to cause us to lose games because, you put that as a touchdown and, we win. The score is a little different, and I think that would have deflated Ohio as well. I definitely think Kiffin called a better game than he has in the past.
You think he called a good game tonight?
Yeah, I did. I think he was trying to get Crompton off, but I loved some of the pitch plays that he called, and I kept going. Why don't we run those? And then he started calling them, and you could just see Bryce Brown and Hardest getting, 5 to 7 yards on those pitch plays, and I think he's starting to try to kind of find his identity in the SEC because it's totally different.
You've got to get backs on the perimeter in this league, and you can't run things between the tackles the way you do in the Big Ten or Pac-10. And he's got to use Bryce Brown downfield. The other thing he's got to do is he's got to use Keith Richardson more around the goal line because if you put it on eight. If you put it on 8, you're not getting 7. I mean, that's, it ought to be a T-shirt for the rest of the year. Put it on 8, and you don't get 7.
You got to put those on the website. I think people would buy them.
8? How would you say that? 8 is less than 7?
7, yeah.
Not equal 7, I don't know. Hey,
8
would
equal 7, okay.
Stay there, and if you have any more thoughts, put yourself in queue and pop back in. I'll get you back in, all right?
Got it.
Thank you, brother. Love you down there in South Texas. I like that guy. He's got good stuff. I'm going to go to MazeMaster 35. MazeMaster, then we'll go to Guest 35. Get as many calls in here as we can. It's 50 past your hour. Tennessee hangs on and wins an 11-point thriller. And by the way, if you bet on Tennessee tonight to cover that spread, I warned you all week. There's an old saying, a fool and his money will soon go separate ways. And tonight, I'm not going to read statistics from that game. Statistics are misleading. That Ohio team threw the ball the whole time. They were over 300 yards passing, big deal. They were never going to win the game. Crompton has a bunch of meaningless passing yards, big deal. If the guy plays like that, and you can say I'm being too critical of him, I'm going to tell you right now the way it is. If he plays like that against Auburn next week, we will get 2 touchdowns. They will walk out of there with a 2-touchdown victory in our building. And I'm not really concerned about our defense tonight because our defense was flat after the Florida game. And that scheme that they saw from us defensively is what they go against every day in practice. So let's go back to our phones tonight and let's get MazeMaster in here. What's up, Double M? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, I mean, hey, Tony. I had a Bob Kessling, Randy Smith moment there. I'm sorry.
Poor Randy. Did you watch Randy tonight?
Or
did you
actually. Let me tell you something. I don't know who got the worst deal. You obviously watched it on pay-per-view and had to listen to Randy Smith. I didn't watch a single play. I listened to Bob Kessling for 3.5 hours. So you tell me who won that deal. I mean,
how did he have a good call tonight?
Yeah. Sure. We'll go there. If he had to, it's almost like he had to spell it out to everyone that we were not playing Ohio State tonight because he kept saying Ohio University over and over and over. I'm like, dude, just say Ohio. We know we're not playing Ohio State. We know we're not playing whatever. Just, God. He said Ohio University 100 times, at least.
I love him.
I was like, dude, shut up. Obviously, I didn't watch it down. I listened to the entire thing, so I don't have a whole lot that I can throw in other than what I heard, but here's what I can gather. It sure sounded like Brandon Warren must have got out of that doghouse that he must have been in or whatever he did commitment-wise because he sounded like he did pretty well in the first half. Number two, I don't know about I mean, I understand the theory about trying to get Jonathan Crompton off, and that's cool because, you know, unless a monumental disaster happens, we were going to win that football game, and obviously it showed. But, you know, like South Texas Vol said, you know, he loved the play calling. Obviously, I didn't watch it, but by listening, I kept sort of wanting to push the radio going, dude, just run it down their throat. Just run it down their throat.
Exactly.
And obviously I understand you want to get Crompton off in the first half, but at one point, I don't know how many passes he attempted in the first half, but I remember Kessling definitely saying somewhere early in the second half that he had 31 attempts. And I'm like, God, man, are you kidding me? I mean, pass the ball a little bit here and there. You've got Crompton. He's obviously not any good, but I understand what you're trying to do, but just pound it and just run it down their throat and whatever. I was a little bit miffed by that, but at the same time, whatever. But
I don't get it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't get it.
I mean, obviously, it sounds, you know, back to the 8 doesn't equate to 7 deal or whatever it is. It's obvious because the first touchdown, unless I'm losing my mind because I didn't see it, they put in Nukes at the little quarterback position, hands it off to Hardesty, boom, touchdown.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, so, you know, obviously something worked there, and it sure wasn't number 8 behind the center. The poor guy, you know, it sounded like he made a few good throws. Obviously, it sounded like the little screen pass deal where he was getting pressure real bad there in the third or fourth quarter for the touchdown pass. Sounded like he did a really good job there. But, you know, another interception. It sounded like a couple more could have easily been picked. He's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah, he is.
And after watching Auburn again, sitting there flipping back and forth between the channels, listening to Kesslin, I know they're playing Ball State, but Ball State generally has a decent little ball club. They're obviously down this year, but
in conference, yeah.
Auburn can flat out score, man, and losing Nick Reveille, that hurts. And I'm a lot worried about that game next weekend. I think Auburn, the way they can score, wow, that really worries me because, Nick Reveille, I mean, Monty Kiffin will tell you flat out, Nick Reveille flat out gets it done. He loves that cat, and losing him really, really hurts. I think we're going to have to shorten the game again next week like we did against Florida, the old playing not to lose deal, whatever it is that Meyer's crying about. But that's the only way. We can't let Auburn just keep touching the ball, 10, 12 possessions next weekend, or we're going to be in trouble. And the Tebow hit, I did see that. That dude got flat out jacked.
I thought his neck was broken. I thought he broke his neck.
I did too. It was, at first I was like, that was sweet. And then after I saw him laying there, I was like, that dude's hurt bad.
Yeah, that guy's hurt.
Whatever. You obviously got to listen to Randy Smith and I got to listen to Bob Kessling, so you might want to call that a push. So we'll just go from there.
Mazur, thank you. Stay there. If you have anything else, pop yourself in queue again. You're the man. Let's get as many people in here as we can. Let's get Gary in here next with us. Gary, how you doing this evening? Welcome to the fifth quarter. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Gary, what's up, man? What's up, buddy? Huh?
That was just a horrible, horrible offensive show tonight, wasn't it?
Awful. That's one of the worst football games I've ever seen. And I think Lane Kiffin would tell you the same. You could tell by that look on his face that was brutal. That was a brutal football game tonight.
Well, I think the defense did okay, but I had a few pass coverage where they just screwed up. But I think it was just, I had to listen to the car. I didn't have pay-per-view and just thought, my goodness, this is just, it reminded me a little bit of Phil Fulmer efforts in the past.
That was Fulmer ball tonight. And that was just dreadful football is what that was tonight. And that's what you get, sometimes in these bye games, Gary, when your team just goes out there and no way Tennessee respects Ohio. They know they're a MAC team and unless lightning strikes. But the thing is, man, the other thing our team does now is they play down the Crompton. And I'm not criticizing, but it's kind of like this. Anybody who plays golf is listening right now. When you go out and you play golf and you play with a guy that can really play or a girl that can really play, whatever, you're going to play better. And if you play with somebody who sucks, you're going to lose your concentration. And I see that in our receiving core now, and I'm seeing that in other areas of our team. And I'm not blaming Crompton for all that, but that's the way it goes. Because those guys, if you watch the body language, when he makes those mistakes, those guys are all just, oh, here we go again. You can just see the body language.
Let me ask you something real quick. So you said that Crompton was a girl and he really sucks. Is that what I heard?
He was what?
That Crompton was a girl and he really sucks. Is that what I heard tonight?
No. But I think those couple of thoughts though were in a couple consecutive sentences there. So good for you, man. Putting that together.
Well,
you ought to work in talk radio.
Oh well, have a great one, bud.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Good hearing from you tonight. And by the way, the officials at the Big Ten game, Iowa has an 18-10 lead, kick return at the midfield, and they're going to call a ridiculously horrible personal foul on Iowa and going to give the ball to Penn State at the Iowa 35-yard line. That is over-officiating. That is an awful call. That is nonsense. It happened right in front of their bench. That drives me nuts, the way these people over-officiate games. I'm making my way over to East Tennessee. Hello, do you have something to add? Hello, guy or gal. Welcome to the fifth quarter. Hi there, listening, no problem. West Virginia, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
You get the game tonight, or did you listen to it?
You know what? I had a boss was in town. I worked late tonight, got home, and watched on the ESPN 360 fourth quarter. Didn't really see much of the game. I was curious what happened to Nick Revesz and how did Crompton do, but I pretty much heard how Crompton did in the last few callers. How did Revesz get hurt?
Just a football play. Nothing.
Is he out for the year? Is he out for the year? Or?
It looks like there's a good chance.
I don't know if anybody's related.
Then they don't know. They don't know. Here's what I'm going to say. It's a serious injury. And they know that right away. The orthopedists on the bench know that right away. They won't know until the swelling goes down, until they can get a real look at it with an MRI, to what extent he's injured, but it does not look good.
That's horrible. On the lighter side, on VolQuest, says that old Compton's dad got thrown out of Neyland for fighting.
When? Tonight?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's like a new chapter with the Cromptons. I love the Cromptons.
That's awesome.
I love the Cromptons, man.
Yeah, he slugged a guy next to him and hit somebody 10 rows back.
He slugged somebody finally. Hey, look, how would you – you know, the only thing worse than being poor John Crompton would be Mr. Crompton. Here these people thought this kid was going to be a draft pick, was going to make all this money, was going to be – you know, the starting quarterback here for 4 years and ride merrily into the sunset. And geez, Louise. I mean, that you think that'd be hard to go to a game? The only thing harder than going to the game tonight as me and watching that schlock that we watched would be going to the game as him. Could you imagine going there as him and listening to people get on your son the way they got on him, I'm sure, tonight?
I would say the hell. There's no way.
There's no way. So what I haven't obviously go over there and look at the VolQuest account. What's the word that did the stadium personnel come
yeah,
up?
Yeah, what it said that they said they ushered him out. There wasn't a whole lot of detail. Could be completely, you know, falsified rumors, but nonetheless, sounds like everybody needed a laugh. So.
Oh yeah, that's a great place for him.
Yeah, I mean, so if it happened, great. If it didn't, we got to laugh at it. So.
I'll tell you this, West Virginia. Last year, a good buddy of mine went to the UCLA game on some student tickets, on some player tickets, sat in the parent section, and the Cromptons had an exchange with one of the receivers' family off last year's team. That ball should have been caught, and the mother of the kid turned around and said, no, it shouldn't. It wasn't a good throw. They started going back and forth at each other. So apparently some pretty interesting stuff happens up there in the parent section in the stadium. Can you imagine what that's like?
Well, I mean, I think every I don't know. After watching the game tonight and hearing everybody, I'm just, to be honest with you, I'm so tired of Compton. I don't care if Stevens is worse at this point. I mean, it's a dumpster fire. It's pulling teeth. And everybody knows he's not going to get any better. So, I mean, seriously.
No, he's not. In fact, I hate to say this. You know what he's getting?
He's getting worse.
Thank you.
Because, you know, they don't trust him. And, you know, Auburn, they run a similar offense from what I could tell. And we had trouble defending that. Man, it's going to be – I was going to go to the game next weekend, but I'm kind of wondering now. Stay home.
I tell you what, that Auburn team, the way they're playing right now offensively, here's the problem I have with Tennessee, is that unless we shorten the game and get that running game going, teams are going to have the ability to run us out of games. And I never thought I'd say that this year, but Crompton, he is that bad. He is. And we have to be honest about it. The summer fooled me. It fooled me. From the standpoint of, I thought this guy has really improved enough that we'll cobble 8 wins together. And now I look at him and I say, do we have 6 wins on our schedule with this guy at quarterback? Because it's obvious to me that Lane Kiffin is going to ride him from pillar to post. And I don't understand that, but that's the decision they've made. It's what they're going to do. I don't get it, but more power to them. And I ask you that, West Virginia. Do you think there are 6 wins on that schedule with John Crompton playing the majority of the snaps at quarterback?
There's 6 wins. Here's what I understand about the whole Crompton-Stevens thing. Crompton is obviously a superior practice athlete. Last year he was superior practice. This year he's superior practice. Stevens is not a superior practice athlete. So in the games, Crompton is obviously just completely, you know, craps his pants. Can't play in a game. He can play in practice. We all know that. Something happens in the game, he just loses it. So why can't we take Stevens maybe he's going to do the opposite of practice? Since Crompton does the opposite in the game of what he does in practice, why couldn't Stevens do the opposite of what he does in practice in a game? I mean, if it works one way, it could work the other. And I mean, Crompton in there right now, no, 6 games is going to be a stretch because we just can't throw the ball.
I'm begging Lane Kiffin, please. Please don't torment me all season. Please. And it isn't about me, West Virginia. Have a great night, buddy. Great hearing from you.
Thanks, Tony. Bye.
All right, man. It's not about me, but please quit tormenting us. We love you. And I'm embracing you, and I want to really embrace this and feel good about it. And it's hard to feel good about something that, when I stick it in my mouth, makes me have a sour look in my face. For our next East Tennessee caller, I say good evening. Hello, you're on the 5th quarter. Okay, not there. Northern Middle, what's going on tonight, brother? Welcome to the 5th quarter. Northern Middle, you there? Okay, just listening. Welcome to East Tennessee. X Knox, what's up, man? You there? Just listening. Hey, welcome to the 5th quarter. What's going on tonight? Anybody else here? Get Valchicka. Valchicka, what's going on?
You just want to start up, Pat.
Tony.
Valchicka, you there?
Hey, this is JM on her phone.
JM on Valchicka's phone. What's up, brother?
I'm sitting out here on Lynchy's boat.
On Lynchy's boat.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to judge you by the company you keep, but go ahead.
All right.
What do you think of tonight's ball game, man?
Well, I think it's like you said, the entire team plays down to Crompton's level.
It's a shame.
He drags the whole team down.
Am I being too hard on him in saying that?
No, we're not attacking the guy personally. I think he's a good kid, but, I mean, he's an absolute disaster, Tony. Every time he drops back to throw, it's like the best-case scenario is an incomplete pass.
We're roughing the pass.
It's awful. I mean, we can't force it here, and we can't find words to describe how bad he is. And I think we would all agree this is a pretty good football team if you put any quarterback that can drop back and make a read. I mean, this is probably a 9-10 win football team. But he is just flat out horrible. I mean, I can't think of any other way to say it, but, I mean, I can sit here and throw out adjectives for the next few hours of how bad he is. And I know that staff doesn't want to make a coaching change, a quarterback change, but it's like one of our friends said at the game tonight, Stevens, he's normal bad. Like, he's bad, but you don't feel like he's going to make the monumental, disastrous plays that Crompton is going to make. Every time Crompton drops back, you think, the world's about to end.
Yes. Every 3rd and long, JM, tonight, I kept saying, all they have to do, all Ohio has to do is get up. And I come up with a new name for it. I call it 3rd and Crompton.
3rd and Crompton.
Because we had 3rd and Chavis, and now we have a down and distance known as third and crompton. And third and crompton is anything that you and I know, anything that is sitting there and is third and six or longer is third and crompton, because it can and will, if given a chance, result in a turnover.
Yeah. Well, how about there at the end, we had a 7 or 8 point lead, I guess, and Lynch and us are sitting there just screaming, just run the ball up the middle and kick the field goal, and Crompton drops back, and we lose 10 or 12 yards, and Lincoln hits that field goal by about an inch, you know. I mean, there's just there's nothing redeeming about having him at quarterback. It's just
it sucks the life out of me. You know what I mean?
I'm tired of watching it. I'm over it. And I'm behind this coaching staff 100%. I'm behind this team 100%. But just it's like you said, watching that guy, it's just I'm over it. I just cannot stomach Crompton anymore. It's nothing personal against him. I'm just talking football here. But I cannot watch that guy play quarterback. It's just, I don't know. It's like having cancer for the last few years with former staff and then Crompton being like a tumor that's still in your body that you can't, you know. I mean, I'm trying to think of ways to describe it, but...
It's the greatest analogy of all. You know what he is, though, really? And if you want to put it in the medical terms, because I've had this for a while. Anybody's really had bad tooth pain? Bad tooth pain is, until you get it treated, can go dormant, right? But once it starts to flare up, it gets worse. And once he starts to flare up, like tonight, he never really flared up, but that team never really gave him the opportunity to. Or what happens there in the third quarter if that fumble, if the guy stays, you have another 3 inches over there on the sidelines, because he has no awareness there in the pocket there.
What was he trying to do? I mean, if he doesn't fumble, he loses 10 or 12 yards. I mean, if you just throw it out of bounds, it's still 31-20, and we have this, you know, we go back to second down and 10 or what, I don't even remember the situation, but the guy tries to run out of bounds and lose 10 yards and fumble. I mean,
how about the second series tonight where he went to the off and the entire line went to the big side and he went to the strong side. And
nobody was there.
The guy over there. I've never... on a football field, seen that. I've never seen that. That guy takes bad to a level that we've never seen.
I've never seen a quarterback on a team this bad that you feel like can just, he totally just destroys everything that we're trying to do. I mean, he hurts the defense. He hurts everything.
You know what he is? Seriously, in football terms, he is a weapon of mass destruction. They finally found, somebody needs to call Brocky, because he's all into that stuff. And somebody needs to tell him that we found one of the weapons of mass destruction. And he wears number 8. And he plays quarterback at Tennessee. And by the way, you tell Lynchy and the gang that I love them. You tell him he married over his head.
Yeah, he sure did. Hey, Tony, before I get off here, is there any chance that these guys make a switch at quarterback? I mean, I'll agree with them that Stevens is horrendous himself, but I just don't feel like he makes the type of plays that Crompton. I don't think Stevens is going to get you beat the way Crompton does.
JM, it's not the USC way. I'm just telling you. I heard Pete Gale talk about it this week. He said we don't change quarterbacks unless the guy's hurt. I've never done that.
Yeah.
And this Kiffin has learned under him, learned from him, and they are really starting to bristle. And I thank you for the call, bro.
See you, Tony.
Everybody, I love him. Kiffin is really starting to bristle by people asking him when Steven's going to play. It's really starting to get to him. But I would like to ask Coach Kiffin right now, he reviews the tape of this, he likes the show. This makes him laugh, which is cool. That's okay. I'm here for amusement. Coach, please don't put us through it anymore. Please, I'm begging you. Please. I just want to feel good about football season, Coach, just like you do. Tony, would you have gone to that call had you known it was going to be JM? Crack out. No. Guest 41, you are annoying, Tide Roller writes. Tide Roller, I think you're annoying every minute of every day. I'm glad to see T. Blackman in here. T. Blackman, I think you flat out get it done. It looks like you've had a little bit to drink tonight, but, hey, keep at it. What can I say? And, by the way, don't call. Guest 40's right. Kiffin has a stubborn streak. He really does. Guest 41 is listing all these Alabama players. Hey, Alabama looks to me like they are one of the top teams in the country, if not the top team in the country. But the thing about college football this year is that as soon as you think you have it figured out, and you think you have the answers, it changes the questions. And it is Roddy Piper Central this year. But this weekend was so crazy that David Cutcliffe and Duke even got a win. Of course, they had to go to 1AA to do it. But even David Cutcliffe and Duke got a win, so I had to get my slam there in on Duke. Auburn scored 54 tonight. Tennessee scored 34. Tennessee's 34 is equal to Auburn's 54 when you consider that Crompton played quarterback. And no, I'm not ripping Crompton, but the guy ran a handoff tonight in the first half. The entire team was over on the short side, and he was on the strong side. Have you ever seen that? Tell the truth. Let's go back to the phone. Penn State and Notre Dame. Is Notre Dame losing? We'll check on that. I absolutely love this. I mean, today was so crazy that, and by the way, there's 1:15 to go in this Notre Dame game, and they are taking on a punchless Purdue team that I cannot believe Notre Dame's struggling with here. This Notre Dame team is awful. And they benched Jimmy Clausen for a brief period tonight in the first half, and he was over there like a real phony, acting like he was cheering for his teammate. So he's a savvy kid, and he knew the cameras were on him. But he throws the ball to the end zone. That could be picked off. Oh, he's lucky to get that back. All right, let's go back to our phones. We've got a bunch of people that want to talk here. It's unbelievable. I'm going back to my guy in Texas who wants to get back into mixing into the hunt with us. East Tennessee, good evening. Are you there? Listen to us. East Tennessee, hello? See, they would say this is bad radio, right? But it's not bad radio because I'm not on the radio, so I don't care. East Tennessee, how you doing? See, I'm just checking to see who's on the lines, who's there, out there trolling. Bilicious, what's up, man?
We got a Penn State game, man.
What'd you think of that game tonight?
Guys,
Tony.
Guys,
yeah.
What are you into?
What'd you think of that game tonight, man?
Crompton still sucks. And the people that we were sitting around, the only time they stood up was when we got to sing the doggy song at halftime.
It's pretty much come to that, hasn't it? The doggy song is hey, listen. Count yourself very blessed and fortunate that you were there. You could have been watching Randy Smith tonight on the telecast.
I'm just stuck in
traffic. You know how bad that game was? You know how bad that game was just from an artistic standpoint? His telecast was 100 times worse than that game, if that gives you any indication of how long of a night he had.
I'm glad I come over here then.
Yes. Do you feel like you're being held hostage right now with this quarterback deal, like a lot of the callers are saying tonight? Is that the feeling you feel like?
Yes. Yep.
Why won't
I was hoping to be Stevens, but...
Why won't Lane yank him at some point?
It's like you were talking about. He's just stubborn.
Yep. Those football coaches are all... They're all set in their ways, man. That's just how they are.
Yep.
What else stood out to you tonight?
I was just mostly disappointed. Besides Crompton, just the fans. What did they say the attendance was?
They listed the attendance at right around 100,000.
And they is lucky to have 70.
That's 70, right?
No question.
Right. It was,
It looked like Philip Fulmer Appreciation Night broke out in there.
No, that was my biggest disappointment besides Crompton, but
drop
I mean
ball.
That's every game.
I want to set something up for you. Notre Dame just got tackled in the middle of the field on the 3-yard line. Purdue just called a timeout. It's third down and goal, 36 seconds to go. They're protecting a 21-17 lead, so Notre Dame needs a touchdown. Notre Dame was out of timeout. They were only going to get one more playoff because by the time they got lined up, they didn't even wait for the teams to get lined up. Purdue didn't to call their timeout. They just saved seconds for Notre Dame. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. But as you were saying tonight, about the game. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Do what now? I just passed the bus.
No, you were just making a point about the crowd tonight. So the crowd was just beat. Do you think the crowd was just a long day in the rain, or you think they were just beaten down by the game, or are they beaten down by Crompton? And did you see Crompton's dad get into a fight earlier, or somebody who reported earlier here on the fifth quarter?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh.
But people just aren't into it like they used to be. I mean, it's disappointing.
I think a lot of that, man, to be honest with you, dude, I think it comes from expectations.
Right.
And I think the expectations are that as long as we have Crompton, we're going to have a tumor.
Right, I agree.
We're going to wake up tomorrow with a low-grade fever. That's how you feel when you have tumor. And I hate that analogy, but JM had a good analogy there, didn't he?
Yes. Hey, before I get off here, Tony, I ate at the pizza place on your show for the first time.
Elidio's, how was it?
Oh, it was good, man.
Well,
it was good. Elidio,
I'm going to send you back, Gary. You call me one day during the week, this week on the show, and remind me, and I'm going to send you there for free.
All right, man, I appreciate it, Tony.
Stay right there, brother.
All right.
Keep on listening out there in cyberspace. Steve Govalls, what's going on? Steve Govalls. Notre Dame did it again on fourth down. Lawson just scored a touchdown. He's the most unlikable guy. Oh, my gosh. And Purdue's going to have 24 seconds to play with. Ah, that coach just let them off the hook, letting them call timeout and get their bearings about them. That is horrible. Poor Purdue. They're so crummy. They are so unbelievably crummy. That's unbelievable. That makes me sick. Go back to our busy phones. And let's South Texas Vol wants to jump back in here, and then I'm going to JC. South Texas Vol, you were saying.
There was a lot of talking going on since I've been on. I just had some comments about some of the things people said. You were talking about how Crompton's gotten worse, and I think I've realized that I found myself ignoring his mistakes in the first three games of just being like, okay, I'm going to be patient with him. I'm going to be patient. And then tonight, I lost it. And I said, I just thought to myself, he's horrible. He really is. And it was like a light came on. Just kind of like, he really is bad. And there's nothing we can do about it. And, I'm, like I said, I want him to do well, but gosh, it's hard to have patience for something like that. And then just the look on Lane Kiffin's face at the end of that game. I'd hate to be in that. I'd hate to be in that. I remember
Lane Kiffin not look tonight like a guy who just got beat by 100 points.
Yeah, he looked like he was going to kill someone. I wouldn't be surprised if he has him out there on Haslam. Has a field running some sprints or doing tackle drills or something. I don't know, but he was pissed, and it was almost refreshing to see him pissed instead of our boy.
What Fulmer would have been doing? No offense to him, and I'm not
clapping
the guy.
Clapping hands.
He would have been walking off with his daughters. No, I'm serious. You can get.
Oh yeah.
You can giggle all you want. He'd have been walking off with his daughters. Had that toothy grin. Those big blue eyes, like a deer in the headlights kind of look
he
has. And then he would have told us what a wonderful, wonderful game it was and how it was just such a terrific, terrific win for his program and how it was number 152 in his career. And, dude, go away.
He'll say we have a heck of a lot of work to do, but it's a good win for the Tennessee family, and he'll hug his little state trooper friends that always stand next to him too.
Yes. That game tonight, the best thing we can say about it was it's a win because it was a step backwards. Our defense was bad. Our secondary got riddled. And the truth is we got a guy tonight hurt at middle linebacker who's a really key player for us.
Yeah. He's our Dane Bradshaw. I'll even go that far as he is our Dane Bradshaw.
You better believe it.
Absolutely. Question, why are we not seeing more of Eric Berry? I mean,
But I say to you that the lane train is coming, brother, and you better get on board. And I hear the lane train there in the background, and I love you. Let's go back to the phones. But somebody told me that I need to keep caller pace this week. DC Coltrane, are you there? Or are you going to talk to me for once in your life? Come on. I'm going to pace you. Get JC in here. JC, how goes it, brother? What did you think of tonight's game?
Hey, what's up, Stallion?
What's up, brother? What did you think of tonight?
Stallion, I was sitting on the 49-yard line, 19 rows up behind the bench behind Ohio, and I'm going to tell you something. What I seen tonight was we got a team that needs a quarterback. I don't care what this guy did tonight. I don't care how many passes he completed. I don't care how many interceptions he thrown. We need a quarterback. I mean, if we're going to compete in the SEC, we need a quarterback. And it's no fault of his. We just need a quarterback.
JC, it's a scary night when you made more sense to me than that game did tonight. And you're exactly right. And I just feel like we're in purgatory. I feel like a guy with a toothache, man. And John Crompton is gnawing at my mouth as we speak. You know what I'm saying? And it's not his fault.
It's not his doing, man.
I just can't take it. I cannot take it anymore.
When I did the show this morning at Calhoun's on the River, the great Calhoun's, I was down there with the great Sean Sinclair, and I'm going to tell you something. I really thought, and I was under the impression, because I'd heard, that we would have seen Nick Stevens today. We never seen Nick Stevens today, so that tells me that Crompton is our boy from here on out.
No question. No. Listen, I heard on Monday of this week, and I reported it. And I got it from a guy on the staff that they wanted to play Nick Stevens this week. They wanted to. Nick Stevens went out this week in practice and was brutal and unfocused to the point where they had no choice. No choice.
Let me ask you this. How does the University of Tennessee, with a $90 million athletic budget and as powerful as the UT emblem is, how do we not have a quarterback in place?
I don't know.
That blows my mind.
I don't know.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm going to turn it over. I don't know if we got anybody online right now, but this guy right here might have a question for you.
Oh. Guys, from Farragut to Fulton, it's a big-time win for the Vols. It's a G-spot.
Cattleman, what are your thoughts on this late Saturday night / early Sunday morning as you are heard around the world, my friend? Thousands are tuned in right now at TonyBasilio.com. The numbers show it to be true. What do you think, Cattleman? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, Tony, I was watching that ball game. I was there on the 50-yard line courtesy of the Mississippi Wonder. We were there working the the solid black Power T visors. And, you know, Tony, I kept expecting Nick Stevens to play, and why hasn't Nick Stevens played yet?
I don't know. It's torturing me. I don't know. I don't know what Lane Kiffin's trying to prove to us. Whatever it is, he's proven it to me. You know what I'm saying? And I know he's your boy, Natty Cattleman, but the bottom line is enough's enough. I understand. He's your quarterback. We get it. And we understand the USC way. But this guy is now, it's like athlete's foot. It started on my little toe. It's moving over into my toenails. It's going to move over into my right foot soon if I don't do something about it, because the team is playing down to him. The team is playing down to him.
Well, Tony, what I can't figure out is how – I mean, if you go to Stevens, how worse can the quarterback play be? And doesn't Stevens deserve a little experience even if he's still the backup? I mean, why are they so scared to throw Stevens out there for a couple of series?
I don't know. Because I'm going to tell you what, though. What I was told is he had a really, really bad week, a really, really not good week of practice when they gave him a shot.
Well, how worse can you play than what we've seen out of the first month of Crompton?
I don't know. Because Crompton tonight ran a handoff where it looked like he was running himself on an option play where it was him and nobody else. He went to hand the ball off to air tonight. I have never seen that. His entire line went one way and he went the other.
Tony, the Mississippi Wonder booed Crompton tonight. I mean, I know
he did. No, he did not.
I know you like those feel-good stories and what looks good.
No, he did not. Now, I want to know what you thought of that.
The Mississippi Wonder led Section U. The whole Section U booed Crompton courtesy of the Mississippi Wonder. I hate to break that news to you, but and I know that it doesn't look good in the paper, but that's the truth.
Did you boo Crompton?
Yes, I did.
You absolutely did not boo Crompton.
Tony Crompton can't play. How long do we have to go with this charade?
Have you ever booed a college player?
Yeah, of course I have.
Who have you booed?
Our
players, not visiting players. Our players.
No, I asked you a question right here. No. I got you answer for your question right here, Holmes. AJ Suggs did a nice job in a spot duty. Joey Matthews, I booed him multiple times. I booed Arian Foster every time he got the ball. I booed Jonathan Crompton tonight. This boy can't play. And I think it's unfair to Nick Stevens. Nick Stevens is on scholarship too. He's from out there in Flower Mound, Texas, and this guy's a redshirt junior, and he deserves his shot. Jonathan Crompton, Tony, I hate to break it to you, but Jonathan Crompton can't pick his nose.
Are you telling me tonight? That you're admitting right here on these airwaves, 50,000 watts, 38 states, Canada, and the contiguous continent of Asia. Are you telling me tonight that you booed a college football player, and you're proud of it? Is that what you're telling me?
Tony, I'll answer your question. Of course, you know, I don't duck your questions at all, but I want to turn the tables on you real quick before I answer your question. I got a yes or no question for you. Was Tennessee lucky to win or not?
You better believe it.
All right. And have we suffered through 4 weeks of horrible quarterback play?
You better freaking believe it.
All right. So you can play your cards and ostracize me and make me look like I'm living on Pluto, but we need a new quarterback, Tony. I hate to break that news to you, brother.
Yeah, that's fine, but here's the deal, brud. You and I both agree that Lane Kiffin's the best thing that's happened here in maybe forever, okay? He's a breath of fresh air. He's made it fun again. But his stubbornness is going to make it pretty unfun if he doesn't give me something new at quarterback very soon. Are you going to join me in saying that?
Of course I am. I mean, Tony, I mean, for the – for the millions that are listening out there in L.A. and Beijing, China, and the worldwide crowd listening tonight, the quarterback play can't get any worse. I mean, what do you got to lose? I mean, the worst thing you got is you got a junior quarterback that might or might not be on the team next year that's got a little game time experience. I can't figure out, why do you try to rehab Crompton? Why not just go ahead and rehab Stevens? I mean, we saw Stevens play last year. It's not like Stevens has never taken a snap from center in an SEC ball game before.
I think what they're trying to do and what they want to do is get through this season because they want to tell those recruits that we've got something for you. And by the way, Cattleman, if you turn Channel 8 on, Titan All Access is on with the real small mic. Cattleman, the real small mic. As your Titans look to go 0-3 tomorrow, let me ask you something. What's been more miserable for you now that we're getting it all out on the table here? John Crompton's play in this first four ball games and his holding of our program hostage, because he is a remnant of former. We know he's a remnant. He's a last vestige of former. Former's almost like Custard's last stand, if you will. That or the fact that your Titans tomorrow come about 6-5.
Hey, Tony, you there? You there? You're
down the barrel of an 0-3 start, Cattleman. 0-3 tomorrow.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Most people listening to your show from L.A. and Denver and Salt Lake City, those people listening online,
yes,
they don't give a damn about the NFL. But here's a question for you. If the Eagles lose tomorrow and the Titans win, what will the records be?
Cattleman, I'm not Randy Smith, but I think 1-2. And Cattleman, you have to get a copy of Randy Smith doing that game tonight. You have to.
Okay. So let me get this straight. The Titans are 0-2, and the Eagles are 1-1. So if the Titans, as you're predicting, lose tomorrow, and the Eagles lose tomorrow, both those teams will be 1-2, right?
Cattleman, tell JC no comments in the peanut gallery. I'm gonna run you clowns.
Hey, sheet.
In fact, I'll tell you what. I'm going to run you anyway, just on principle. And you're out of here. Finally, somebody got cut off on the fifth quarter. By the time the caller pace kept it going. Okay, some of the comments we have on Cattleman, I can smell the breath from here. The guy's a math genius. JC can make him breakfast in the morning, guess 40 says. The Eagles would curb stomp the Oilers. I agree with that. Guest 41. Later, all you sheep. Enjoy your boy Kiffin. You'll be running him off in 3 years. Saban will see to it. I'll say this for Saban. Saban's got it going, man. I got Cattleman tonight calling the show liquored up. As the numbers grow on this show, thank you, guest 17. As the numbers grow on this show, so will that. We'll have a lot more of that, and especially as the stakes get higher. But this, I kind of feel like with the fifth quarter here, tell a friend about it, by the way. At TonyBasilio.com. And get on the chat boards after games. Say, hey, man, there's a fun show right now on, and it's really fun. And you know, these guys are just having a good time trying to talk about the game, and I'm just trying to be honest about it. And my honest thoughts were, 3 weeks ago when the season kicked off, it was all brand new. I'm crazy for you. Tonight's game. It was drudgery. But our quarterback is a throbbing pain. What he is. You know what? somehow number eight plus one pass doesn't equal seven. Eight minus one pass might equal seven. But eight tonight, if that ball on the out near midfield that they picked up ran in for a touchdown, if eight has to go back under center, and that's a four-point game, you know what we're talking about right now? One of the worst losses in the history of Tennessee's football program. College football is a crazy game, okay? I know it is. You know it is. We all know it is. But based on, and by the way, if you want to call in and keep it going tonight, do that. If not, I'm going to bid you adieu in about 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you this. College football is a crazy game. It's an up and down game. People at Penn State thought they had a top five team. They don't. People at Ole Miss thought they had a top five team. They don't. People at Miami thought they were back. They're not. People at Florida State thought they were back. They're not. People at Florida thought Tim Tebow was indestructible. He's not. People at Oklahoma thought they were going undefeated. They're not. People at USC thought that they were going undefeated. They're not. Just when you think you have the answers, this sport changes the questions. But there is one constant in college football. Jonathan Crompton, when he walked on the Tennessee's campus, stunk. He stunk then. Stinks. He's bad. And I'm afraid we're not going to get our program back until he gets out of here. And that is a sad realization I've come to watching that game tonight. For those of you just joining us, a guy called in earlier and said there's a rumor over on VolQuest. Somebody posted tonight they saw his dad get Joel Krob has the greatest post of the night. He says, no Crompton Avenue. Say it ain't so. Okay, let me ask you something, those of you posting tonight. I don't have a caller to help me out with this. Where would you suggest we put Crompton Avenue? I'm telling you right now, I'm going to say this on the air, and people are going to rip me. People are going to rip me this week. I think he's really rubbing off on the guys around him. I really do. I'm checking back in with South Texas Vol because he gets it done. South Texas Vol, you put yourself in queue, and that means I go to you, and you get it done. What's going on tonight?
Sorry. The street question for Crompton Avenue,
yeah.
I would put it at the corner down there in Vestal and near the Montgomery Village intersection down in Vestal. Just so that we wouldn't have to really see and be reminded of that, of Crompton Avenue.
A great stick tonight, Vestal. That is beautiful. That is beautiful, man.
And nothing against the Vestal people. It's more towards, it's just more Crompton than anything.
Vol's dude says, how about House Mountain? He's the top of the top. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying, but Kiffin, I hope Kiffin doesn't care really about public sentiment, because they don't. You know, he's got a plan, he's working his plan, but public sentiment is going to turn if he keeps that guy in there. Can you not feel that, South Texas Vol tonight?
I'm sorry, I was reading some of the comments. What did you say?
Public sentiment is going to turn on Kiffin if he doesn't get Crompton out of there soon.
Absolutely.
Because we have had enough of that.
Well, and just like you said, I think Kiffin's getting more frustrated with all the questions, I think, more than anybody. And I think, you know, I think there's probably some players that are going, God, there's got to be a better way. This is not what I signed up for, you know.
Yes.
I mean, how do you talk to your freshmen, your Bryce Browns and your Jansen Jacksons, who are definitely contributing, who are studs. When they're sitting there going, I know it's only a year, but man, I didn't come here to, you know, play behind a, you know, crappy quarterback play and lose, you know, 7-8 games my first year. I thought we were going to be better than that.
Here's the deal. Cannot a great quarterback raise the level of his team? Of course he can, right? And guys can play better. Then why can't a crummy one lower other guys on the team into mental mistakes that you wouldn't see them otherwise committing, which is what we saw tonight?
Here's a prime example. John Parker Wilson, not the best quarterback in the SEC by no means, but he had confidence in who he was and his ability, and as much and he knew what he could do, and he didn't try to do any more than what he could do, and look where he took. And I think part of that was Nick Saban giving him confidence. But I mean, John Parker Wilson was, you know, he wasn't the, you know, the Tim Tebows or the Colt McCoys, but you know what, he got it done. And look where Alabama did last year.
No question. And that's all we need. Man, what I wouldn't give. We had a John Parker Wilson, this team went.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we'd be 10-2.
Easily. That is the worst we would do with this ball club. Hey, STV, great hearing from you, man.
Yeah, man.
Keep it rolling.
Have a good one.
I love STV on the fifth quarter. Maze, and we'll drop you back in here. What you got, man? I know you got something good.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, Kessling never figured it out, and I don't know, but where was Rogan tonight? They kept, you know, the nickel defense was obviously, you know, obviously losing Revez Herb, but the nickel defense tonight was horrible, and Rogan was never on the field. Was there a reason?
Kessling said that, right? He suspended.
I never heard him say it. I don't know what happened.
Well, he suspended. Rogan got suspended before the game. He got suspended Thursday night for violation of team rules.
Okay. And second of all, you were saying quite a while back that, you know, how you thought that through the practices and everything, that what we saw at Crompton, that this was, you know, an 8-win team, whatever. You think you feel like a moron. I'm the one that has been saying for months after watching, I went to 3 practices over there. The only one I didn't go to was that little kicking scrimmage deal. And watching what unfolded over there, I was completely duped into thinking that this quarterback had changed and that he was playing so well that Florida was an obvious loss, and probably Alabama, and other than that, me being the complete woolly sheep that I am, I was convinced that that was it. I was like, this team's going to run the football, this team's going to play awesome defense, and Crompton will not kill us, and we're going to go 9 and possibly 10-2, 9-3, 10-2. And what a complete duped fool moron I am, because if he keeps it up, which obviously he's going to, because it's not going to change, you know, this Auburn game, this Georgia game, obviously Alabama, you know, I agree with you. You will bring down the rest of your team. Those receivers, I mean, I know a couple of them are holdovers, Moore and Jones and those guys, and I don't know if they just haven't bought into it or whatever, but those guys are, in my opinion, good enough to make plays and get open, and they're just not doing it. And I think it's just because they are just beat down and they are playing down to the level of their quarterback, and that's exactly what's going on.
There's a guy out there who's usually about a 15 handicap, and he's playing with a guy that's going to shoot about 110.
Exactly.
And then he's going to spray the ball all over the place, and he's not going to concentrate. This is just some crummy nonsense is what we're all having to sit through. And I would love to ask Philip Fulmer if he watches this team. I mean, are you proud of yourself? You left this guy. You know, they say leave things better than you find them. You left this guy in a position where we literally do not have a quarterback on campus that can play.
How
is that possible?
How
can you have a $100 million payroll and that be the case, man?
Here's what bothers me about that. I mean, obviously, you know, Crompton was recruited by Fulmer and his staff and everything, and when he came on, he was underage, and you knew he was going to sit for at least for a year or two or whatever. But as much as Philip Fulmer trusted and just loved David Cutcliffe and believed everything the man said,
if David Cutcliffe knew that Jonathan Crompton was not going to make it and would never hardly see the field under if he was still here, then I cannot believe that he was so stubborn. Actually, I can, but I can't believe, coming from Cutcliffe, that he would not go out and find some way, somehow, a quarterback, or really get out there and beat the bushes and find something to be a replacement, or something on the roster to be a competition or whatever. He put all of his eggs in Jonathan Crompton's basket, and it got him fired. And it's obviously it's not going to get Kiffin fired, but like you said, if Kiffin stays with Crompton, which it really looks like it's going to happen, the Fulmerites, the people who love Kiffin, they're going to start getting a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I love Kiffin, and I love this whole regime. I love that we made a change, et cetera. I'm not going to get down on Kiffin, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, man, you are killing us with not changing quarterbacks.
The word is butt. And I love Kiffin, but I love Kiffin, but
yeah,
right now, but enough is enough. And Valdude is right. Valdude says, I want a Knoxville New Sentinel letter from Crompton's daddy, a la Joey Matthews' father several years ago. Why not? If we're gonna sit through this, I hope that thing is true tonight at Neyland Stadium, and I hope we completely stir it up. I want to stir it up.
I'm glad JM gave, because I was curious. I knew that the rain all day was going to beat people down and whatever. I was curious to see how many people actually were in the stadium, and obviously JM and a couple other people said it was probably 70,000, which is about what I expected. And the fact that if Crompton's daddy really did get in a fight and get thrown out of there, unbelievable. But I also did want to know, and I would never do it. And I can't. I'm over Crompton. I'm over the whole deal. But I would never boo the guy. It's just not me, man. But I was curious to see if – I couldn't tell on the radio, but I was curious to see if there was some booing going on. And obviously, Cattleman and JC were booing him. And does it surprise you one bit that the first caller that's ever been booted on the fifth quarter in history is who? Name him. Trivia question.
He urinates me off, man, even when he's drunk.
He was – I knew when he got on the phone, I was like, man, he is wasted. This is gonna be next level radio right here.
Hey, Guest 50 has a great line. He says, the only positive I came up with about Crompton is that at least he's not handing the ball off to Arian Foster this year. Another thing I'd like to ask Fulmer is, dude, you coach offensive line all those years. You coach a bunch of great running backs. You can't tell a turkey from a guy
yeah.
to play. You mean to tell me you had number two, the guy we see in your backfield.
Oh, amazing.
You had him. You watched him in practice.
That blows my mind. Blows my mind that he can't see that, or he didn't. Well, he saw it. He just wasn't going to do anything about it because Foster was the incumbent. Foster was the older guy. That's just the way Fulmer does his deal, like it or not. And that's just that is what it is. Crompton's bringing them down, and you're right. These freshmen, these studs like Bryce Brown, these guys, they're like, man, I signed up for this deal. I mean, I know hopefully it'll get better next year, but this year, God, this guy, this poor dude, he can't play dead.
How sad is it tonight on the fifth quarter? And Mays, thank you. You're beautiful.
You're welcome, man.
I find you outstanding. 54 past your hour. Almost Sunday morning. T. Blackman says he's got a call. He wants to put a young Doc Rutter back in there. Heather Harrington have any eligibility left? That's what it's come to. This season is about to get really silly if we have to sit through John Crompton all year. Ricky Dewey, is Will Overstreet going to sign a petition to keep Crompton?
is Mike Griffith going to turn in his tickets if Crompton is benched?
Oh, my gosh. That's some of the dumbest stuff I've ever read. Oh, man, it makes my heart hurt. Almost like the Phillies blowing out of the lead tonight. Yes, 32, that's right. Daniel Lincoln hit his longest field goal to date, and Randy Smith, after that, said, that ball just missed by inches. And then he said, I mean, it just missed clearing. And then he said, no, what I meant to say is it just cleared and almost missed, and he couldn't figure out what he was trying to say, and I was thinking to myself, dude, this is a trick. This is the same guy last year who said that they were attempting a 7-yard field goal. Mississippi State, or a couple years ago, whenever that was. Norm Chow says, how backwards is this? Giddy over last week's loss, now down over tonight's win. Dumbest fans in America. Well, Chow, I keep it real, man. Tonight's game was horrible. Football. Anytime you have a guy like Jansen Jackson who picks a ball up and is running with it and is parallel to the ground and tries to lateral it to somebody, you have receivers dropping balls and you have John Crompton throwing balls and you have guys and you have Ohio in your building running a kickback for 80 yards for a touchdown on special teams, converting countless third downs. I would say that Crompton mania has spread to the entire team, and I keep it real. I keep it real. I keep it real, and that's all I do, and that's all I ever have tried to do. Keeping it real tonight, keeping it real, dictates that you have to look at tonight's game and say, you know what? We were really, really, really pretty damn lucky to get out of there with a win. You look at the numbers, you look at our quarterback, if that play, I'm telling you right now, that strip of that fumble, Crompton, if that ball goes 6 the other way and it's a touchdown, you tell me what the score is in that game. You tell me if we're walking out of there with a win. I'm telling you right now, I can't take it anymore. I cannot take this much longer. But I want to thank T. Blackman, who was with us tonight from Pillar to Post, and Bronco ZR for his great job, and Ricky Dewey, who makes me giggle. Ricky Dewey, I'm sure you've got some kind of Australian rules football game that you've got to catch that comes on at 2 a.m. I promised Mrs. B I wouldn't be up past midnight doing this. Tony, is Gerald in the doghouse or is he hurt? He's getting over his injury, but he looks to me like he's in a fog. I like what somebody said earlier. Some of these upperclassmen don't look like they bought in. We've got all week to talk about that. And Auburn, by the way, the game I penciled in as a loss earlier in the season, officially, scares me. Auburn scares me. If you missed any portion of this, you can go back to TonyBasilio.com. But I do invite you to come on back. And we've got a Lynn Magruder sighting. JC and the Cattlemen are on their way to the Crystal. I wonder if they're going to run into Buzz Peterson. Actually, it wasn't Buzz. It was Jerry Green who was the Crystal coach there at Guest Stadium. I'll never forget a young, small Mike calling me and going, well, you know, we just did. We just hired the Crystal coach. And I'm going, okay, what's that mean? A Jerry Green. Doug Dickey was out drunk one night, saw the first thing he saw on the marquee, and ordered himself some Crystal burgers. We got the Crystal coach. But it's all good fun. So until we meet again for all those behind the scenes, and really there's just me and Bronco ZR, but it sounded good. I want to wish you a great night. And I want to say tonight's program dedicated to my main man, Nick Reves. Nick, I want you to know that you are, to me, Tennessee football brother, through and through and through. And I want to say to everyone listening to us, come on back next week at the conclusion of the Auburn game. It'll be midnight madness as never before. And a great Sunday morning to you and yours. Tony Basilio signing off from the top. God bless and go Vols.